Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Today, plausibly live, it's the ZabeCast.
No. We'll do it live! Fuck it! I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
Today's guest, sports radio lifer and D.C. Jewish Sports Hall of Famer, Andy Pollin.
Uh-huh.
See?
And now, let's get to yakking.
Here we go.
It was an absurdly nice Sunday here in Arizona today. And I almost, Andy, wanted to go find people that were either in their house, in restaurants, in their cars, and yell at them to get outside. Like, get outside. What are you doing? And yet it was kind of quiet around here today on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day of Rest. I guess the people here are like, well, they go, eh. We got 217 more of these days before it's all said and done. How was your day in the Mid-Atlantic on Sunday, other than the teeth gnashing
from watching?
It was absolutely
beautiful. I know that's a great disappointment to you. You've always wanted to live in Arizona to avoid the weather, but today was 60 degrees with sunshine. I know that's a horrible thing to happen to you.
That is quite lovely. That's a nice early spring day in the DMV for a winter that has been non-existent. A winter that has been AWOL this year, right?
Right. Yeah. No, we've had, I think the number I heard was 0.08 inches of snow for the entire winter.
0.08.
We're not out of the woods because there's still some March left. And I remember probably 30 years ago, a wicked late March snowstorm.
Right.
But so far, so good.
0.08, that would not even get you arrested for a DUI in the DMV.
Oh, yeah.
0.08. Maybe it would. I don't know.
And how about the weather teams for the local television stations? They're ready to plot. I mean, they don't know what to do with themselves. They've been ready to mobilize, you know, for months here. And it's like the Maytag repairman. They got nothing happening here.
Exactly. Well, did you miss winter at all?
Did I miss it? No.
Okay.
I live in a townhouse now, so I don't have to worry about shoveling snow. But, no, I find no joy in snow.
Well, wait, don't you have to shovel at least the short driveway of your townhouse? Or at least a walkway or the stairs at least?
There's a couple of steps in front where you're supposed to do it, but it's very minimal. I mean, you saw the driveway in my old house. This is nothing. This is just a little pishing two-step deal.
Yeah, meanwhile, out in Tahoe, where my aunts and uncles live, although many of them are here in Arizona this week, they are saying that they're going to get buried with another couple feet of snow. They've already got roofs collapsing. My cousin, her house has two cracks in the walls because the weight of the snow on the roof is too much.
Right.
And if you want to hire somebody, Andy, to shovel your roof, oh, you can do it at $100 an hour for shoveling.
Well, it's worth it, because if your roof collapses, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than that. And they don't build houses out there to withstand that kind of snow, because who the hell would think it's going to snow like that there?
Yeah. And the locals here in Arizona, including my parents who have been snowbirding here for the last couple of months, will not stop bitching about what a cold and awful winter it's been. They feel like they've been gypped. So finally, the weather turned nice. We're here for this week, and I'm out and about going, man, it's nice out here. Why isn't the entire world buzzing with this? And the answer is because, well, it's almost too perfect out here. Again, I get back to this theme with you. Remember I asked this question to you last year? I go, is it possible, Andy, that it's too perfect out here?
Well, look, I remember when we had these wicked snows. It's going back probably 10 years. And you were all over the people for not being prepared. There weren't enough trucks. There wasn't enough sand. And you kept threatening to move to Arizona.
Oh, I threatened,
so
yes.
Now you got 1 foot in there.
Empty
and
threat.
What do you got? You got cold. You got snow.
And I just drive around going, so this is all it is, huh? It's just desert. It's brown. It's perfect. It's the same all the time. It would seem weird. I do like the variance of weather. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that it changes. But I don't want the extremes. But with the variance comes the extremes, and there's nothing you do.
Yeah.
All right. So you watched the Terps today, and they collapsed against Penn State. I know this only because I was out hitting golf balls at the time, and I saw the texts from my Wisconsin buddies who were all distraught because they don't want Penn State in. Penn State's right on the bubble with Wisconsin, and they somehow wriggled off the hook against your Terps. What happened?
It's unbelievable. They were great at home all year. They were undefeated at home. The only game that they lost that was outside the conference was to UCLA, and UCLA could wind up winning the whole thing. But on the road, it's remarkable. And, okay, this one looked like they were finally going to break through. The only road wins that they have are against Louisville and Minnesota, which are two of the worst teams in the country.
Right.
And against Penn State, which, as you say, is a bubble team, could be in. They got off to their usual bad start. They were down by about 7 or 8, but then they rallied. And it looked like they were going to go into the half by 16. Some kid from Penn State hit a shot at the buzzer going into the dressing room. Still 13. Second half, they're keeping it double digits. And then in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, they stopped playing defense. They couldn't hit shots. And this kid from Penn State, as white as snow, his last name is Funk. And Funk, he brought in the funk. He knocked down 4 3-pointers, which brought them back, and then finally came down to like the last possession, and Penn State put up a 3, which they missed. But the ball, should have been rebounded by Maryland. They had 3 guys under the basket. Somebody slapped it around. Penn State tipped it in, and they won by 1.
Yeah, this would be Andrew Funk, 6'5", guard out of Warrington, Pennsylvania, senior. And, yeah, he looks like a little bit like one of the Gonzaga shooters from back in the day. We call that deadly driveway game right there.
Yeah. Well, didn't your buddy Jay have a saying? I like this saying. He says, never let the white kid get his feet set.
No, right. Exactly. Never let that happen. And when the white guy shoots for 3 uncontested, it's fire in the hole. Look out, everybody.
Yeah.
So, well, that's tough. So Maryland is still going to be in, though, right?
Oh, they're in. Yeah. They wanted the double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Now they're going to have to play on Thursday, which is not so bad. They're probably going to be like an 8 seed, maybe a 9 seed. And, they could have, if they had finished stronger, they had a chance to move up, maybe even be a 4, but that's not going to happen.
How do you feel about this guy, Kevin Willard, who took over this year?
Like him. Yeah.
You like him. Okay.
I think
is he going to be better than Turgeon when it's all said and done?
Did you hear this? Did you hear what Pitino said a couple of weeks ago?
Which Pitino?
Rick Pitino said that he had an offer from a big time school, but the buyout was the problem. and the buyout last year was $5 million. And they didn't want to pay it. And CBS Sports reported that was Maryland. So Kevin Willard was the second choice. Also, you still had these violations hanging over Patino's head. And then, of course, the NCAA, which basically doesn't exist, looked at it and he's off the hook now. So,
okay, hold on.
It would have been worth it to pay the $5 million.
All right, hold on a second, because you were breaking up when you said that. So the word was Maryland was ready to go hire Rick Pitino out of Iona.
Yes.
And the buyout of his little puddling contract up there was still $5 million. And old Wallace Lowe, is he still the president of Maryland?
No, it's I can look it up.
That's okay.
He's not there anymore.
It's some other dipwad. Okay, so
it's a new president.
So they were like, $5 million. We don't want to pay that, can't pay that, not going to pay that. So Willard was their second choice.
Right.
At a Seton Hall, and he's turning out great. And they're already paying Turgeon still. Yeah.
Turgeon got a $5 million buyout. So you would have had to pay $10 million in buyouts to have Pitino. But I'd have done it.
you would have done it for Pitino.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he is the slimiest of the slimiest.
There's no such thing as slime anymore. What are you talking about? You can buy teams now.
He had intercourse with a booster. I've got to be quiet. My parents and my wife are here. This is a true story, honey. Don't look at me sideways. He had sex with a booster in the back of an Italian restaurant in a booth and then paid for her abortion as a purported devout Catholic who would wear white sometimes on Sundays on the sideline. Don't tell me slimy doesn't exist. That's your slime.
Okay, but when they're holding up the national championship
right.
and cutting down the nets, is that going to be a big concern to the fans? I don't think so.
Yeah, that was only the Kentucky one as well. Not to mention the Louisville one, the most recent one, where he had his assistant coach out there buying prostitutes for recruits.
Yeah, and the NCAA looked at that and they went, nah, it's okay. Even though they escorted him out of the building. It wasn't handcuffs, but they took him out of the building after they fired him.
Right. It's funny because my wife and I were watching an old 30 for 30 on the Fab Five at Michigan. And the themes that they were teasing on back in the day were so quaint compared to now. Because it'd be like, should kids leave early for the NBA? Yeah. You know?
Right.
And we're talking about it, and I said, yeah, honey, this is really old stuff. Like, we don't even care about any of this crap anymore.
No, no. Well, I mean, it's minor stuff now. The big thing was that Chris Webber is a pathological liar. And
understood.
He flat out denied that he took any money. And
right.
in fact, he did take money from a booster, lied before a grand jury. And the only thing that saved his tuchus was that the booster died. Ed Martin died.
Right.
And he didn't go to jail for lying to the grand jury. But he was taking money. And he had the sob story. Oh, they're selling my jersey in the bookstore and I don't even have enough money to buy a pizza. Oh, God, spare
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Yeah. That said, we're 1 week away from Selection Sunday. This will be, I think, the first big, real, robust, full tournament since the pandemic, so I'm getting more excited about it. Unfortunately, a lot of the blue bloods aren't as blue as they once were. Kentucky is probably in now. They are on the bubble for a good part of February, I'd say. Carolina and Duke are not what Carolina and Duke normally are, but they're both going to be in. So are you excited a week from today?
Yeah, Maryland's going to be in. I find that to be exciting. I mean, that's what I'm interested in most years. Now, here's a question for you.
Okay.
The percentage chance of this is just like the amount of snow we've had here this year, probably
0.08.
But remember what happened on Selection Sunday last year?
No, I don't remember anything
year
to year.
Brackets?
What happened?
Okay. There was a fellow you may have heard of, won a bunch of Super Bowls, Tom Brady. Put out a tweet while the brackets were being unfolded, and he said, I'm coming back.
That's a good one, yeah. That was a year ago. I totally forgot that. Speaking of a year ago, you know what today's the anniversary of the Will Smith slap of Chris Rock?
Oh.
Happy slap-iversary.
Did you hear what Chris Rock said about it last night?
Yes, he apparently was doing a stand-up appearance
in Baltimore
and pretty much said, look, we know that, you know, it was obvious that he was hurting in his relationship that he'd been cheated on because that's where it came from. He didn't really care about me.
Yeah. No, it's like he waited and waited and waited and then emerged from the cabin with a bazooka. I mean, it was just, if you listen to it, it is just awesome. You know, his takedown and, you know, I mean, it's full of F-bombs and everything else, but the way he put that together, he waited and waited. You know, some guys retaliate right away. Nope, he didn't say a thing. Waited, boom, a year later, kaboom. It was really awesome.
So you think he was actually genuinely mad about it?
Well, look, it's on national TV, and he was essentially punked at that point.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
But all the sympathy immediately flowed to him.
It did, but and this is something that women don't understand all that well.
Oh boy.
But when no matter how big the guy is, if he throws a punch,
you're kind of obliged to return fire. Otherwise, you're a pussy.
Yeah, and he and I credit him for not doing that, and I also credit him for waiting an entire year to come back with guns a-blazing.
If you were ever punched or slapped or just attacked, would you fight back?
Yeah, I mean, I was when I was dating, actually, with my now wife. It was a nasty subway situation where there was a lot of pushing and shoving. I think it was July 4th, and everybody's crowding into the train. And some guy got real mouthy and chesty, and I said, you know, there was no fire exchange, but I said, if he threw a punch, I was going to have to return.
You were going to have to go
in. I was a lot younger then.
Yeah, you wore a younger man's pants back then, for sure. What's the most recent time that you thought that you might have to get into a fight? How recently?
Oh.
A year?
That may have been it.
How about that putts at the bank? Right next to the station that one time.
Yeah, we weren't going to come to blows, but
you'd think that. You'd think, nah, this is not going to come to blows. Like, it's a quick hop, step, and a jump sometimes.
This is the golfer who's there, and he's filling out a variety of deposit slips at the window.
The teller window, not having prepared it ahead of time, and you're standing behind him, and you decide to start popping off on him verbally.
Yeah, I said, you know, there's a table over there, you fill out the deposit slips, and then you come to the window, and he didn't like that, and, you know, we had a couple words, but no, we weren't going to come to blows. Yeah. I think the last fight I had was in junior high, and it was more, wasn't even punching, it was more like shirt pulling than anything else.
Yeah, me personally, I'm not fighting anybody at this point. I will go full coward. I will be the absolute wimpiest of the wimpy because I don't really need it. Like, there was an incident just this past fall. First Packer game of the year, Packers-Bears, me and my producer Josh, who's a Husky fella, let's just leave it at that. We're sitting there in the very tight Lambeau Field bleacher seats, which, you know, there's bleachers, so it's you get lines that you're allowed to sit in. And believe me, when they made the stadium in 52 or whatever, people were a lot less fat, right?
Yep.
So we're there, and there's a dude next to my producer Josh who's equally as Husky, and he's a Bear fan. And we're jammed in, Andy, like sardines in a can. It was comical. And there was like this jostling. I noticed that Josh and his buddy start jostling, right? And the guy ends up getting mouthy, and I think I tried to laugh to defuse things, and my lighthearted laughter only made him madder. And he gave me this death stare, like, what are you going to do? You going to come at me? And I literally said, I go, no, you're way too big for me. And so he was just pissed off about it. But yeah, I would definitely not return fire on that. So anyway, Willard's working out. You're a tournament team. You're happy. Sheehan, I'm sure, is happy. Probably Van Pelt's happy. Maryland basketball, hopefully back on a winning trajectory. Can't say as much about Georgetown. Holy crap. When will Georgetown ever get out of the weeds?
Their two-year record in the Big East is 2-38.
Over 2 years. Andy, what's the phrase I love from Bull Durham? How'd they win two?
It's a miracle.
Both
of those wins happened this year. So yeah, I guess you could say they're on a trajectory that's up. But
so Ewing is out. Ewing is out, right?
It has to be. I mean, you know
what I mean? Has to be. I thought that was already announced that he's on his way out.
No, the athletic director kind of put him on notice in the middle of the season.
On notice,
you know,
you're 2-38, and the whole world's noticing.
Well, I understand, but again, they went through a winless season last year in the Big East, and he returned. And the big, you know, they had games this year, not conference games, but they had games where tickets were free. And they were drawing less than 5,000 people.
Oh,
all you had to do, if you were a D.C. resident, all you had to do was show ID, and you got in. You got four tickets. So even if you live in D.C., you just hang out by the window and go, "Hey, bro, if you're a D.C. resident, I'd like to go in with you." Oh, sure.
Maybe four tickets. Maybe there is no resurrecting the brand that Big John once built. That is not salvageable.
If Ewing is out, that's the last link to Big John. That ends it.
Right.
And so
they have JT3. Who preceded Ewing? JT3?
Yeah. And then before him was Craig Escherich.
Longtime assistant, right. Who was the Bill Guthridge for North Carolina, who succeeded.
Yeah, not as old, but.
Although Guthridge actually had some success. Escherich didn't really. Well, Escherich, he had a couple tournament appearances. Coached against your Terps in that one Sweet 16 game, remember?
Yeah, and JT3 got a Final Four, but you know, things just fell apart at the end. And the big thing is, it's just they're playing in a big downtown arena which seats 20,000 people, and you put 4,000 in there. It's depressing.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a program in Milwaukee that we have been talking about all year that has such a similar footprint to Georgetown, Marquette. Shaka Smart has got Marquette rolling right now. Why can't Georgetown find their own Shaka Smart?
They can, but they have to be willing to do it.
And to pay. I think the biggest thing for Georgetown, they got to get over the whole, we're keeping in the family. We got to keep it Georgetown. It's like, no, it's over. Bring in the best coach you can.
Right. Well, an interesting name is Mike Bray, who is Notre Dame. He's local. He grew up in Rockville, went to DeMatha, and although he's 63 years old,
and he just washed out at Notre Dame. I mean,
but he might be able to in this area. You know, the DeMatha. Remember the DeMatha connection.
Oh,
Big John didn't tap into that because he and Morgan didn't get along, and so getting some of that and just getting people excited about the program again. I mean, there was a time when people walked around in Milwaukee, for example, and other cities
with Georgetown starter jackets.
Georgetown starter jackets.
I know.
They were the national program for young people. It really was amazing.
Yeah. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Speaking of
tickets. You mentioned the free tickets that even were not free enough for people to go see Georgetown play. Yeah. I have a good friend who's a golf buddy, Garrett Harding, shout out G-Hard, who just bought season tickets to the Washington Commanders.
Why?
He loves football. He loves the team. And I said, well, talk about buying the dip, as they say in stocks, right? You are buying the dip. Mm-hmm. He goes, Zabe, you have no idea. They're good seats, mid-level, $100 a piece, no ups, no extras, no PSLs, and wait for it, free parking for every game. I go, wow, the parking alone used to be $50 a game.
Yeah, still is, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and you're buying with the idea you're going to have a new owner. So, it might not be a bad investment right now.
Yeah, but that, I mean, did you think in your life you'd see, quote, Redskin, now Commander tickets, season tickets, $100 a game, plus parking. And they're like, here, mm-hmm. no commitment, no nothing. I mean, when that in a stadium which has been downsized to, what, 68,000 stands?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they can't even fill that? I mean, it's unthinkable. I mean, you and I were presiding on the sports reporters in the afternoons when they had 92,000 filling that place up in the early aughts and the mid-aughts, even into the late aughts. PSLs and people trying to get out of their PSLs, like that sweet old grandmother who was getting sued by Snyder.
It hit its peak with the return of Gibbs. Like, they went up to like 91,000 at that point with the greed of Snyder knowing no bounds. And then as things began to decline, and I remember we had somebody on the air to talk about this. They were doing solar panels on top of some parking, and we got into the seats and stuff. And he says, "Oh, we couldn't sell those anyway." We went, "What? What?" Because at that point, they were still claiming a 200,000 seat waiting list.
Yes, here's inside radio for you. So Andy and I are told by our program director Chuck, we need you to have this guy on who's in charge of this new solar panel initiative and the electric vehicle chargers out in the parking lots at FedEx Field. And you and I kind of roll our eyes and groan like, oh, God, it's going to be one of these things. But he got the word from the team, like, we really want to push this. Okay. So we start talking, and we get him to talk about the renovations to the upper deck. And like you said, him being a solar panel engineer or project manager and not one to speak for the team, just blah, blah, blah. He comes out with too much truth. And, man, Chuck was running around like a chicken with his head cut off because he knew it was going to be a major headache for him, because that then became the headline. Dan Steinberg, writing in the DC Sports Blog, was like, they can't sell these tickets. They had to scramble and walk it back, and we got yelled at. And you and I are like shrugging our shoulders going, well, that's what you get. You shouldn't have told us to do the interview.
We're actually professional radio guys. We listen when people talk. We just don't write down questions and go on. And because if you're going to claim you got a 200,000 seat waiting list and a team official comes on and says, oh, we couldn't sell those anyway, that's news. That's news.
Right. When you book Jim Zorn to be a weekly guest with us and he's on his way to a second full season of 6-10 or whatever the number was, and he's bragging about the fact they got three Pro Bowlers, including a special teamer, on like it was his birthday. And I go, does that really matter to you? And he gets all snippy pissed off at me. Don't look at me. You gave me the interview with them. I was going to ask him what came to mind exactly.
So we only got 1 year out of him.
Was it one year?
He moved on. The next year, Tom and Kevin did their show at the park with
that's
him.
That's right.
And they had such emasculated him. He didn't have any responsibilities. His play calling was taken away. He would come on and do his 15 or 20 minutes with them. And then just sit and listen to the rest of the show. It's the head coach of an NFL team.
Right. That's so sad. Speaking of which, I can't even track where we are in the latest Snyder Chronicles from week to week. When I talk to you, news that breaks, where are we at right now this week?
Well, there's two bidders, apparently. There's Tillman Fertitta, who owns the Rockets.
He's a late wild card bidder, right?
Yes.
Because he was not mentioned up until a week ago.
Right. And the other one is Josh Allen, who owns the 76ers and the Devils. He's local, grew up in Chevy Chase, and very well educated. Hello, Wharton and Harvard School of Business.
Right.
And he also owns a piece of the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he's sort of in the mishpucha already here. And so those are the two. And then the reports are that Danny is blocking Bezos because he's pissed off about what, you know, happened with the reporting in the Post, which right. Bezos owns. And now the latest from the Post is that there are the owners are really angry about some demands that Snyder's making if he sells the team, like they can't sue him. He also doesn't want the Mary Jo White investigation to become public, even though the league says it will. And so now it could be moving towards a vote. Doesn't mean they're going to have a vote. And if they don't have the votes, there ain't going to be no vote. But there's that. And then like a 1-2 punch, Don Van Natta comes swooping in with his latest story.
Flips the buffet
that
table.
Snyder took out a $55 million line of credit without telling his partners, and that Roger Goodell may have been complicit in the cover-up. And so it's just...
I don't think you and I have talked about this. That the fact that Goodell stupidly approved of this, not knowing... or not even asking Snyder, so did you vet this thoroughly with your minority partners? He just said, oh, yeah, you want $55 million? Sure, with the NFL, we print money. Have it. Now Goodell, because the minority owners came to the league and goes, what the hell? Why'd you approve this? We didn't approve this. And that's when Goodell said, all right, we better just sweep this under the rug. Because Goodell's ass was now in the jackpot, as the saying goes. Thank you, umpire Tom Hallion, for giving us that phrase.
But one more thing, Columbo, realize this, that in the initial engagement of Beth Wilkinson to do the original report on the team, which was supposed to be a written report, and that's what the engagement agreement says, it will be a written report, suddenly became an oral report, because that may have included this. So that there's that too. I mean, he could be in hot water as well, although he manages to wriggle out of a lot of these things. So we'll see.
I know we're doing this over FaceTime, and of course I hate FaceTime. It cut out right when you said that report could also include, I'm assuming you were going to say, the $55 million
home equity line that was not approved.
Yes,
in the
exactly.
Cover up the $55 million right. Line of credit.
So right. So the Beth Wilkinson report is the actual, it's the report about the report from the one that became an oral report, right?
Right. Yep.
And there's going to be more lawsuits and everything else. Oh my God, what a mess. All right, real quick, a couple more things. Ja Morant, Andy, has taken some time away from the team to work on himself, to be a better person. Apparently, the latest incident was he was seen in a nightclub dancing, swaying to the music, after hours, waving a gun in the air. Kind of a bad look for one of the NBA's, what they want him to be, a frontline marketable superstar. And this is just the latest in a long string of things that I was kind of only vaguely aware of, including where one of his boys might have pointed a red laser at the Pacers in the tunnel after a game, implying that there was some kind of laser scope rifle sight on them. Involved a report by a teenager who played pickup basketball with him and got into a fight and saw Ja Morant come out of his house with a gun in his waistband, threatening him. And each and every time they're like, well, we looked into it. We couldn't find any evidence to prove it, per se. Now he's deleted both his social media accounts and he's going to take some time away from the team. And I saw Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, Andy, just torture himself, tie himself into pretzel knots, saying, you know, I really like this young man. I really do.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. But then says, you can't do this. This might be the NBA's first real hardcore streets star that may end up with a really bad outcome in a long time.
Well, but Gilbert Arenas brought guns in the locker room, so we had
Gilbert was bad. Gilbert was stupid, but Gilbert, I don't think was as hard or as street as Ja Morant. Like Iverson might be the only comparison, because they talked about Iverson being a comp, you know, a guy who had a lot of friends from bad parts of town that he wanted to be loyal to, even though he was now a superstar.
Here's what Eitan Thomas put out. Dear John Morant and all young athletes, you got to surround yourself with people who will uplift you, give you good advice, tell you things you don't want to hear, like don't do that, or man, you're messing up. Never, and he put it in capital letters, never surround yourself with people who only praise everything you say and do, and be wary of people, family or friends, who put you in positions that could ruin your career, no matter who they are or how long they have been in your life. And, you know, in another kind of level of this, this is what broke up the Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan bromance, that Barkley basically told him the same thing, stay away from yes men. But this is even more serious. These are people who are, you know, basically affirming his right to have a gun and playing pickup. What's he doing playing pickup with a 17-year-old and then getting in a fight and punching him in the head? I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's just bonkers because he is supremely talented and he's going to make a gajillion dollars if he just gets some common sense to go, hey, maybe I shouldn't be in a club waving a gun around, for God's sakes.
Right. So. But the issue is, you know, just because you put all this money in his pocket doesn't mean the lifestyle that he's had all his life suddenly disappears and he's hanging out with, you know, people at Bushwood playing golf.
Playing shuffleboard and golf. You know. I get it. But even guys from the hood know, okay, I'm making millions of dollars. I'll have another guy waving a gun around at the club for me if I want that kind of action. I'm not going to do it because there's literally a half a billion dollars at stake for me. But anyway, his dad's a problem. His dad's a problem too. His dad is a real problem, John Morant's dad.
But that's you and I, middle-aged guys, you know, saying what we would do. His thought process probably doesn't work like that.
Yeah, but you're selling short a generation of other young African American athletes who come from bad situations, bad homes, bad neighborhoods.
Yeah,
who at least know. Like to me, John Morant's level of not getting it is shockingly high. That's all.
Right. But you also get a sense of empowerment when you reach that level of stardom that you can do whatever you want to do. And that probably has contributed to this.
All right. Happy Selection Sunday. We'll talk next week after the brackets are out, and we'll go through our brackets. Happiest Monday of the year.
Happy to you.
Okay. Take care. All right, Andy. Talk to you next time. Thanks, bud. All right, I'm going to work on this remote setup. I think it works pretty good. This Rode, I don't know what they call this model of microphone, but it's a nice portable mic. The NT USB microphone is pretty darn robust for being small and portable. And the Rode Connect virtual mixer that is on my MacBook Air is pretty sweet. It's just, we got good Wi-Fi here at the parents' condo. Andy has great Wi-Fi. I don't know why the connection was so bad. Anyway, we'll work on it. Thanks for listening. Have a great Monday, everybody, and we will see you next time. Make March Madness a moneymaker with MyBookie. Getting started is easy. Visit MyBookie online and use promo code ZABE to receive a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Grab your extra funds now and for a limited time, claim a free entry into the $150,000 MyBookie Madness Bracket Contest for a chance at the big money. If you're the type of guy who likes to fill out multiple brackets to get an advantage, you can do that too. The price of entry is less than an Uber, all for a shot at life-changing amounts of moolah. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and simple to win and simple to get paid, like MyBookie. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.